The Hard Shoulder with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman on News Talk
with Kia.
Now, the government has spent €1.3 billion on modular buildings for schools in the past 5 years. One TD told the Public Accounts Committee these modular prefabs were not conducive to teaching or learning. They were a blight on communities across this country and should not be seen as a personal solution to classroom space. We're joined now by John Boyle, the Irish National Teachers Organisation General Secretary, and Owen Dolan, Principal of Mother of Divine Grace National School in Finglas. John, I'll come to you first. You're particularly irate at the presence of so many of these modular buildings and the expense involved.
I am, Shane, in the sense that I suppose the Deputy Kenny's comments struck a chord with me, because before I got this position, I was principal teacher of a school campus that unfortunately locally became known as Prefab City up on Knock Lyon in Dublin 16, where in the 1980s they built a new school. It was too small, even though they should have seen the projections, because the birth rates were increasing all the time with new housing. And it took 35 years from that point onwards before we got a fit for purpose school. So over nearly three generations, we had 500 plus children in prefabs, as they were called back then. They were rented for that length of time. And then when our school became really, really inclusive in 2000 to 2005, not alone did we have the 16 prefabs for the mainstream classes, we ended up with another 16 smaller porta cabins for children with special educational needs and new Irish children who needed language support. So eventually we got the spanking brand new building. But I notice now that the department today is calling it modular accommodation and saying that modular accommodation is not a short-term solution. Well, certainly for the children in Knock Lyon, it became a long-term solution. A seminal moment for me was the 1st of September in 2010, where we had a grandmother, brilliant SNA in our school. She was working in a prefabricated classroom. Her grandchild started junior infants that day, and she was able to tell the newspapers that not only did the grandchild go into a prefab, but that child's mother, 20 years previously or so, maybe 25, had also started in the same prefab. So that's a league of shame when it comes to the Department of Education's track record with providing school accommodation.
I asked my own kids about this, because the school they were in did have a couple of prefabs, and this is what they said back: not disruptive to learning, not too many complaints about it. My daughter said beneficial to our school because we didn't have enough classrooms before that. And she said obviously not a permanent solution, and it shouldn't be normalised in any way. But she was sort of saying they weren't the biggest deal ever having them. In fact, they were of benefits in the short to medium term to the school.
And look, I would have to accept, Shane, that the modular accommodation that's available nowadays is a much higher quality product than what we were used to in Knock Lyon all those years ago. But having said all that, you know, when I look at this from a purely planning perspective, I mean, the same Department of Education who suddenly have to find modular accommodation for schools at short notice, they are projecting into the future for the last 7 or 8 years that there's going to be a drop in school enrollment. They are whipping out 498 mainstream class teachers out of classrooms this summer and redeploying them. So that's going to be 498 groups of children who are going to be split among remaining teachers in September. They're well able to plan for teacher numbers, or so they would pretend. But yet when it comes to providing accommodation for those teachers and students to be in of a very high quality, they really, really fail to do so. So it's a lot of money, you know, £260 million per annum to be spending on modular accommodation. And
evil is probably too strong a word, but is it a necessary compromise? Let me put it like that. Because, I mean, we know planning new schools, I have a little bit of experience in this, it takes absolute years. It's a really slow process.
You're talking to the right individual here. As I say, 14 years from the time that the department ratified our new school until we
not all that's down to the department, though. There's other issues.
Well, in our case, it was a simple enough solution. There was no major planning issues, to be honest with you. But having said all that, Shane, you know, when you look at this amount of money, it's a stark amount of money. And there's a narrative out there at the moment that the Department of Education is underfunded. Like, I would suggest to the listeners here that that is a very false narrative when you have 410,000 children in oversized classrooms, and then they're provided with rooms where the windows are too high, they're too cold in wintertime.
Yeah, no, I have to say that wasn't the experience. That wasn't the experience
with
the latest ones. Hang on there for a second, John, because I do want to bring in Owen Dolan, principal of Mother of Divine Grace National School in Finglas in Dublin. Owen, what's your experience? Do you have these modular buildings?
Yeah, so just about 3 years ago, we got approved for two modular buildings, which we're going to provide for ASD classes in our school. So we've had them now 3 years, and they're kind of on our school campus. They're slightly separated from the main buildings, but by and large, our experience has been positive. I would hear all of what John says, and I suppose we're very lucky. I suppose we have the modern constructs that the modular builds come in, and they are still quite expensive to build. Mm. I suppose from a school's perspective, you're just happy to be given the buildings to provide the classes. So that's where we didn't have space in our existing school buildings. Our experience has been positive. Like, we were told when they were built, they should be there for 30 or 40 years. We'd have, I suppose, far bigger problems within our existing school building, which was built in 1962. And as you can imagine, it's kind of creaking at this stage. Mm-hmm. So the teachers that are out there, whilst there's obviously some minor issues with a new building, you know, they're quite comfortable buildings. They're well heated, well insulated. They are more expensive to run, and they do actually put a cost on the school as regards lighting and heating, which probably wouldn't be reflected within the capitation grants. But by and large, our experience has been positive. But I do echo what John said around planning. Like, Shane, you'll know yourself, the area of Finglas, like, a lot of our children now are coming from the area of Meekstown, which was an area built up beside IKEA, and now a lot of the children are coming down to Finglas and Ballymun for school because there is no schools up there. So we are very reactive in the education system. We're constantly reacting to a problem as opposed to being proactive, looking at census figures and planning. We now have schools in areas that don't need schools, and we don't have schools in other areas. Now, I'm not sure there's a simple solution to that, but, you know, I do think it's something we need to look at.
Yeah, no, very fair point, Owen. Just before I come back to you, John, lots of people texting on this. Principal of primary school here, €106,000 per year on rental of prefab rooms, despite land purchases, planning permission granted, etc., for our new building. It definitely seems to be taking too long, as John was saying. But Lauren Dublin, John, let me put this to you. What's wrong with modular school building when a large section of society is pushing for modular homes?
Look, you've heard some of the reasons why both Owen and myself have welcomed maybe the newer modular buildings. But at the same time, there's this big question about value for money here. And, you know, you might get 30-year lifespan out of this building. The first thing that tends to happen in a school community when you get the modular building is that the insurance bill for the whole school doubles. And that's quite ironic when you think about it, because the insurance for the dilapidated building tends to be low, because obviously the insurance company realizes that, you know, it wouldn't cost too much to fix up that dilapidated building. And yet when it comes to the modular building, because it might be more of a fire hazard or whatever the case may be, there seems
It might just be because there's a flat roof. Anyone who's tried to get an insurance on a flat roof extension will know how ridiculously difficult it is.
And in these situations, then, you see the school capitation grant is way, way less than it is for post-primary in our sector. And when your insurance is taking a big chunk out of your funding for the running of your school, it just seems to be a false economy. And really, if the planning was done properly, they should be able to identify where the children are going to be going to school and what schools need their permanent buildings. And, you know, any school will opt for a permanent building rather than their modular build. But obviously, when the planning isn't done properly and there's a bit of fire brigading being done, if you need a special class opened and you have to have it open by September, the easier solution is to get it built in a factory off-site. So our view is that there should be less of this expenditure on modular and a way more planning towards permanent school buildings.
John, thank you indeed for that. Owen Dolan, last word to you.
Yeah, again, I would echo what John said. Like, we have actually provided, you know, medium-term solutions to the department as regards what they could do with our school buildings in order, like, for instance, to provide special classes in the community. But it seems that, you know, it's kind of fixed the problem now as opposed to looking down the line. You know, sometimes I do feel it's about getting children off a list at that very moment. And I understand we're in an emergency situation. That's yeah. what we deal with.
Yeah.
But, you know, a bit of a more medium term solution would actually save the economy, save the taxpayer, because whilst it might cost more now, it will save us down the line.
Okay. Thanks indeed for talking to us. Owen Dolan there, Principal of Mother of Divine Grace National School in Finglas on the north side of Dublin, and John Boyle, INTO General Secretary.
The Hard Shoulder with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
With Kia.
Weekdays at 4 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.